Today we're continuing back into a series of messages from based on the teachings of Jesus. Jesus was a master storyteller, not only because he could tell the story so well, but because of the ingredients with which he mixed into that story, those stories that he told, stories that I've called stories to live by, penetrating insights that if we would have receptive minds and hearts can make a transforming difference in our lives. I don't know about you, but sometimes I wonder, as recently as just a couple weeks ago when I was in the Czech Republic, why is it that some people seem to be so receptive and responsive to the good news of Jesus Christ, and others are dismissive, not interested? Some are irritated, some are passively accepting that this is your view, but it's not their view. In fact, as I shared the gospel, there are several people that were responsive, and it was very encouraging to see what God has done in their lives and is doing. Some are very ripe, and they haven't yet come to faith in Christ that I met. One gal at the end of the week clearly said to me, "No, I am not interested any further." And then she patted my cheek, which was, I took it as, you know, you're a kind person and all, but I want nothing to do with what you're talking about. Why is that? Why is that that some people respond with no, and some people are curious, and it doesn't go any further than the curious, and some people respond and it brings life transformation? Why is it that two people can come to express faith, Christian faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ at the same time, and one is growing exponentially? I mean, the spiritual life is flowing through them. They're growing. Their character is changing. It's making an impact in their relationships with others. And somebody else just seems to be, after a period of time, indifferent, or maybe they've even walked away from faith, or they're just kind of lingering there and their faith is not growing and their life isn't really changing. How come? And sometimes as a pastor, I think it's more of an emotional question than it is a theological question for me. I know the answer theologically, but emotionally, I wonder, where is the power of God? Does God not, through his word, bring change and transformation in people? Because so often I see when it doesn't. Of course, there are other times I see where it does, and it's so encouraging. We might be tempted to think the problem is with God, and he's certainly a key factor in the ministry of his Holy Spirit. But Jesus tells us a story that gives some answers to that. Doesn't tell us everything we might like to know, but it is a story that indicates how the life force of God's truths and the ministry of his Spirit through his word can bring transformation, and why it seemingly has no effect on others or various kinds of responses. Here's the setting in which Jesus told this particular story as it's recorded in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. You see, a large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got up into a boat. And then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one, which we're going to read in just a moment. No question about it, but Jesus was a sensation. I mean, everywhere he went, people were drawn. He didn't have to do any marketing. Didn't hire anybody, any firm to help him to present himself and how to draw a crowd. What are the techniques that should be used? I'm not being critical of that, but that's not something that Jesus really had to do. He was just an absolute sensation. Of course, a lot of people were drawn to the things he could do that were pretty extraordinary and very compassionate, and a lot of people wanted in on that, or if they didn't have the need themselves, they wanted to see it happen. In this occasion, there wasn't any miracles that are recorded here, but they were drawn to the teaching of Jesus. In fact, the crowd was pressing in so hard upon him that he couldn't have room. I'm just trying to imagine what that was kind of like. In fact, I was at JFK Airport, I think I know what that feeling was like. I have never been in such a place like that where I, and they kept saying, make room, and there is no more room. I wonder if that's how it felt for Jesus. No room to make his hand gestures. and to project his voice, getting smothered out. Give me some room. So he got into a boat and pushed off from shore a little bit, and the people were on the shore, and he was out a little ways, and he began to teach them further. You know, if I was Jesus, I probably, in my own nature, would get really excited to think, oh, wow, this is what I came into the world to do. I am here, and look at the people. Look at their receptivity. Look at their interest. They're just hanging on every word I have to say, and I'm giving them God's truth. This is energizing. Life doesn't get any better than this because the mission that I'm giving here is just having such wonderful response. But that's not how Jesus looked at the crowd. As he looked at the crowd, he looked underneath the surface. And he knew that the words that he was speaking were a life force of truth from God that has the power to change and transform people's eternal destinies and to change them from the inside out. And yet he knew as he was speaking that there were going to be some who would respond in a way that that life force would be unleashed. But there would be many and maybe more who would respond in a variety of ways that wasn't so encouraging. And that's, I think, in part, why Jesus told the story. And I also think, and I don't know this, you know, it doesn't say in the text, but I also think, not only was he looking and seeing what was under the surface, but Jesus used this as a tool to cause those who were listening to his teaching to consider what kind of mode of listening are they engaging in? Because how they were listening was going to make all the difference to the message that was being presented. Here's the natural story before Jesus gives explanation in verses 3 through 9. We'll read that in just a moment. Let me say also that it's wonderful that on this occasion we have recorded explanation by Jesus as to what this teaching meant. Admittedly, there are many questions that arise to me, even after Jesus explained it, that I have questions about, and you might as well. Probably not going to delve into those this morning. But here's the story, and let me set it up, that Jesus is talking about, as he often did, in terms of which the people could understand in their day, a common sight, which is someone, a farmer, who wants to prepare for a crop to begin and is casting seed out on the land that he owns or is renting, in order to secure eventually the hope of a crop that would yield some benefit to he and to his family. And it fell on different kinds of soil. Same seed, four different kinds of soil, which are indicative of four different kinds of responses of people. Here it is in verse 3, Matthew 13. Listen. By the way, there's an interesting word. They were, weren't they? Or were they? There are a number of times, again and again and again, in this section, Jesus saying words like, listen, understand, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. You know, words like that. I mean, it is a word of caution. It is a word of exhortation. It is a word of challenge. Listen to what I'm saying. Think about it. Ponder it. Be open and receptive to it. A farmer went out to plant some seeds. Here's category number one. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath. Didn't get to penetrate. And the birds came and ate them. I just saw some, Bev and I went to Lowry Park Zoo yesterday, and they were feeding some of the penguins, and one of the penguins slipped with one of the fish, and down came one of these birds, and but almost got it, but not quite. I think about that's what, you know, Jesus is describing. There is this dynamic that he's describing here, where the bird takes a seed away. Second, the Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The soil at that very thin layer had some fruitfulness to it, but underneath was rock and made difficult for plants to really grow in a sustained way. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have any deep roots, they died. Category number three, other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Number four, still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, some 60, some 100 times as much as had been planted. Word of exhortation once again. Listen, and here he comes with the word at the end. Anyone who has ears to hear should listen and understand. I've been praying for me. I've been praying for you. May we heed the words of Jesus to listen with an open and discerning mind and heart that is receptive. In verses 10 through 17, it is well worth reading. There's a lot of complication involved there. I will not take the time this morning, unless you urge me to do so at another occasion, I could. But I am going to just share with you what I believe are the highlights of what Jesus is saying in verses 10 through 17. And that is that there are two factors for why people respond the way they do to the gospel message, some with authentic faith and some without. On one hand, it is God's gifting to people for them to be able to see spiritual truths, understand them, and to welcome those truths into their lives and to become a grateful recipient of God's love and grace in their life. That's God's doing. On the other hand, others who willfully harden their minds and their hearts to God, God allows them to remain in their blindedness and remain in their resistance. In fact, Paul talks about, you know, being on guard that we don't become calloused. You know, another way of describing it is we can become inoculated. You know, we get enough of the real thing, but it really doesn't take hold in our lives, and we've just become immune to what's having a contagious impact upon our lives. But the main thrust of what Jesus is saying, those are two factors that must be accounted for. What I've entitled in your message outline there, God's sovereign grace. He is sovereign in his dispensing of grace, which none of us deserve. And when we are recipients of that, our response is, thank you, God, for opening my eyes. Thank you for gifting me with faith. This is all of you. And on the other side, there is the human responsibility. Whose responsibility is it for the response? Ultimately, we share that responsibility. But here's Jesus' explanation of that story, as we'll read it in a few moments. He's indicating that the seed is the message of the kingdom. Kingdom is a rulership of the King, Messiah, Jesus. This is message of the gospel, the good news that Christ has died, that he's risen, and he's come to give new life and to give new leadership, which is the kingdom of God. The seed is a constant in this story. The seed, the message of the gospel, in fact, Romans 1:12. How does that go? Or is it 1:16? Now I can't remember how that verse goes. I'll just paraphrase it for now. I'll get it in a moment later. But the gospel is the power of God. It has the power to change and to transform. The same power is distributed broadly. That's a constant in this story. The difference maker is the heart, the soil. What kind of soil did it fall in? And that soil is representative of different receptivities of four different classifications of people. Some have said that the best known title for this parable of Jesus is the parable of the sower. I've heard it said, and I agree, it probably would be better entitled the parable of the soils. The difference maker, the contrast dynamic that Jesus is emphasizing is the receptivity of the degree of receptivity of different people's hearts and minds. As we unpack this just briefly, we would do well to ask ourselves the question, if Jesus says, listen, those who have ears to hear, let them hear, realize that probably, I mean, in any group of people, there are probably four different kinds of soil. And I've been thinking about that as I was preparing for this as well. Which classification might be more generally descriptive of you, of these four soils? And then I would also ask you, which one do you want it to be? Here is soil number one. The soil of what might be described here as a hard heart. The footpath was a trampled on, place which people moved from one part of a land to another, became a path, and the seed doesn't penetrate into that. Verse 19, when Jesus is giving an explanation, he says, okay, I'll explain the story to you. By the way, he gave that story to the masses. It was to the few who were further interested and saying, hey, could you explain this to us? We don't quite grab it all. I think that's interesting too. Jesus told the story, listen up, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Most of the people just listened to it. I don't know what happened, but there were a few, maybe a number, who pulled Jesus aside and say, hey, we're not quite getting it. We want to. Will you help us? I'm mindful of the guy that was challenged by Jesus to exercise faith. And the guy candidly said, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. Lord, I want to believe. I want to understand. And Jesus honored that person's response. I'm in unbelief, but I want to believe. Help me with this. Well, verse 19. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Oh, they might understand it conceptually, but it doesn't really grab hold of them as something that is true. Now, this is quite a statement, Jesus says. And then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. Some kinds of people are just saying, I am not interested in this at all. Or I have intellectual curiosity and I understand it, but not for me. I mean, a flash of people just went through my mind all the way back, 30, 40 years ago. And you probably can know people that have responded this way. Maybe you were at one point in your life like that as well. Unreceptive. And the danger is, at some point, as I already was talking about before, somehow the instrumentality of Satan and how he works is extraordinary. Don't understand it. Takes that word away. I have an illustration that might work. It just hit me. I was trying to figure out who God was. And I remember hearing someone I knew share about how she came to experience a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I remember at the time as she shared that, I thought, that's nice, but she's a nerd. And I had no interest in it. You could say, at least at that moment of time, I was unreceptive soil. I didn't remember her telling me that until 3 years later, after I had put my faith and trust in Jesus. So thank God for opening my eyes to see and to understand. And then I went, oh, this is what she was talking about that I pushed away. Second kind of soil, the rocky soil, stands for what might be described as the shallow heart. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear, Jesus says, the message and immediately receive it with joy. It's because of this that I sometimes get cautious in my... When someone responds to the gospel and they have great joy, I'm full of hope, but I don't get too excited yet until I see it sustained. Hopeful but cautious. Receive it with joy. I mean, I shared the good news with this person. They responded with joy and receptivity. This is awesome. But then verse 21, Jesus says, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Great initial response, great enthusiasm. They respond with joy, but apparently they may only respond to certain parts of the message. Respond to the part about, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me and I'll give you peace. I'll help you with your relationships, your marriage, things like that. But they ignore the statements of Jesus, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Obey my commands. Jesus says, when life gets hard, after responding positively to the gospel, when life gets hard, maybe it's because they're being ridiculed in the office place for their faith. Or maybe it's because they get sick, they lose their job, and they become discouraged, disheartened, and then they just absolutely leave the faith. That's the shallow heart. Third category is the thorny soil, which could be described as the strangled heart. Verse 22, the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. Initially seemed to respond to the gospel very favorably, assent to it intellectually, may have emotional response like the shallow heart. But, it becomes apparent after a period of time that they're really pursuing the good things of life more than they are pursuing the things that are eternal, the kingdom of God. And Jesus says it could be a poor person struggling with trying to make a living, or it could be a wealthy person becoming consumed with wealth. But somehow this living or seeking to acquire or the good life crowds out the receptivity to what is of ultimate sustaining, lasting, eternal value. And the number one drive in their life is money and the comforts of life, not God's kingdom. The fourth category is the good soil, a receptive heart. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly, truly hear and understand God's word. And the implication is that they receive and respond with faith. And there's new life here. And the evidence of that life is that they produce a sustained harvest. I inserted the word sustained. Harvest of some 30 or 60 or even 100 times as much as have been planted. I find this interesting. This story is reported in a couple of other gospels as well. And this seems to be... brought up again and again, that some people respond and there's growth, there's life, this is good, this is encouraging, but it's 30%, we celebrate in that, return. But some are doing 60%, some are responding with 100%. Now, Jesus really doesn't address why that is so here, but many of us have seen that by observation or maybe in our own lives. Maybe we ought to ask, am I responding with maybe the 30% kind of category? But I'm not a fully devoted, fully growing, maturing believer in Jesus Christ. My character really isn't transforming to the level that it is in this person. I'm seeing life change over here. It's not happening quite as much in my life. Why? But the emphasis really is, this is, whether it's 30, 60, or 100, this is a good heart, this is a receptive heart, and it is worth celebrating, giving God thanks for it. It's a person who receives the word with a sincere heart. Yes, there may be joy with that. There may be a response that seems that life is occurring within them. It emerges new life. And that new life begins to show. It begins to reveal itself. If the word of God is truly received, it produces this life-changing, transforming power of the word of God. The message of the gospel brings life, and life evidences itself in fruit. One should always be concerned when we don't see fruit in our lives or the lives of others. And in this case, it would be seen in things like this person is beginning to forgive other people who have hurt and wronged them. This person is beginning to serve others. This person is trusting God more and more with their life. This person is evidencing a greater humility or greater kindness in their relationship with other people, and is beginning to improve their relationships. This person is the kind of individual in whom God's life force of the Word of God is being unleashed, and it brings about positive change. So, four different kinds of soils. The Word of God, which is powerful and about the message of the kingdom and the truths of God, has the same potential in all four of these soils, except for the fact that these four soils have different receptivity levels. Notice what Jesus says in verse 12. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. That seems to parallel what Jesus is talking about, the bird comes and takes it away, or the devil does. Now, although I affirm God's sovereign grace, I do believe those twin qualities of sovereign grace, also coupled with human responsibility, are twin dynamics that are true. I think the message paraphrase is helpful here in verse 12, which is rendered this way. Whenever someone has a ready heart for this, the insights and understandings flow freely. Someone's got a receptive heart, God's word begins to penetrate them, and they begin to understand and begin to see life changing taking place in their life. They begin growing. Those who have a receptive heart, more shall be given to them, change and transformation. Continuing on this paraphrase, but if there is no readiness, any trace of receptivity soon disappears. Some 16 times in this section in Matthew 13, Jesus uses words like hear, listen, understand with your heart. It's a pretty important theme. That's the responsibility end that we have. God's sovereign grace is a key factor. Jesus points that out. But the great takeaway for you and me is our responsibility. What kind of receptivity do we have? Again, verse 9. Let the person who has ears listen. Many times as I pray before delivering a message, I'm praying, of course, oh God, help me to present this as clearly as I am capable of doing. May I do so with authenticity. May I do so with ways that are clear and accurate and compelling and logically and emotionally. Help me to produce well with this. But I realize ultimately that's a factor that God uses, but it's not the final determiner apart from the sovereignty of God. It is the receptivity of people who are listening. And so then I start praying for how we listen. How about for you and me as we, this week, open up the Word of God, or we study it together in a community group, in one of our small groups? When we read it, are we only simply trying to understand what it says, intellectual curiosity, or passive indifference? Maybe we know we checked it off. We got that reading done. I'm spiritual today. Or are we opening it up? We do want to understand with our minds, but we want to respond with our hearts, whether it be repentance and through conviction, or whether it be joy and thanksgiving for the nature of God, and it issues forth prayer of praise to God, or leads us to make a phone call, or set up an appointment with somebody because we know we need to ask them for forgiveness. Is the Word of God, are we responding with receptivity? James has a lot to say on this. Let me just read one verse. I had several I could have read, but verse 25, James 1, 25. But if you look carefully into the perfect law, that is the Word of God and His truths, that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you've heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Looking carefully, receptively, with an eager heart to understand and an eager heart and will to obey what it says. God is sovereign. If we've come to faith in Him, we give Him our praise and our thanks that He's given to us the privilege of hearing this message and giving us the gift of faith to respond and to believe. All praise goes to Him. And yet we also have responsibility. May we, if we're in one of those three other categories, may we, by the enabling help of God, say, God, I this is how I've been responding. I want to respond differently. I have seen, and perhaps you have too, in fact, the woman who went, no. At the same time, she said no to me. And she used gestures. We use more gestures when we're communicating with English, you know, English and Czech, and you know, to amplify for understanding. No. As she did that, she said, I have no need of God. I have no interest in God. Maybe someday. Oh my goodness, what is she saying? Maybe someday. We have seen some people in the Czech Republic. We've seen them in our own lives. Maybe I've been one of those. Maybe you have. By the grace of God, receptivity on our part can shift from one kind of soil to another. God's sovereignty, our responsibility. Here are some next steps I suggest. Maybe a response like, Jesus, I'm sincerely seeking truth with a willingness to follow fully what is indeed true. I'm listening with openness, so reveal your truths to me. Wow. That would be a great thing. Or, Holy Spirit, I marvel with profound gratitude that you've given to me spiritual sight and faith. It's not something commendable about me versus somebody else. It's, oh, goodness, you opened my... Thank you, God. Or as a Christ follower through prayer, I want to cultivate my heart to be responsive to your words that can bring transforming power. I no longer want to be one of those people that are just reading the Word of God to check it off or engaging my mind with intellectual curiosity without responding with my heart and my will. I want my mind, my heart, and my will to be open and growing. Or maybe it would be, God, strengthen me to persevere in faith when the tests and temptations of life come my way. I also want to love you and your purposes above the good things of life. Let us pray. We'll just have a time of silent prayer. Ask yourself in your mind, even ask God, what kind of soil am I? And if you've been one of those other three kinds of soil, ask Him to change and transform your receptivity level to be the good soil.